Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 for our New Testament reading. Ephesians chapter 6. We continue our series in the full armor of God, and we come today to our last sermon in this series. We've spent a number of weeks looking at what God teaches with regard to the normal Christian life, the normal Christian life of being enlisted as a good soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Christian life is not a cakewalk, it is not a mere stroll in the park, but it is indeed a call to arms, to be aligned with the Lord Jesus Christ, the King, and to be ones who are enlisted in His army, and to be those who lock arms together to advance His cause and the fame of His name in this world. And in order to do so, we must be strong in the Lord, and we must put on the full armor of God. But it is not enough to just have the armor on. We must indeed also bathe that putting of the armor on with believing prayer. And so we come today to the end of verse 18 and verses 19 and 20 for our meditation. But we'll read verses 10 through 20 of God's holy and inspired word. Hear the word of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Having heard the word of God, what is your response? Amen. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have spent 2 weeks so far looking at the importance of prayer, believing prayer, calling upon the name of the Lord, and combining believing prayer with putting on the full armor of God, that we might be effective soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen our need of prayer. We have seen God's gift of prayer. We have looked at our own poverty in prayer and God's gracious provision of the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. We have talked about the time of prayer. We have spoken of the kinds of different prayers that we are called to pray. We've even spoken about the language or form of prayer and perseverance in prayer. And last Lord's Day, we just began to touch on what the Bible calls intercession in prayer. Praying, interceding for others in our prayers. Not just praying for ourselves, but praying for others. And even as we hear this quick review of what we've talked about in respect to prayer, we're reminded that believing prayer is the first sign, the very first sign of new life in Jesus Christ. How do you know that someone has been impacted by the glorious good news of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures? How do you know that someone has been impacted unto newness of life, everlasting life, by that glorious good news of what Jesus Christ has done? Well, you know they've been impacted because they pray. They call upon the name of the Lord. That's the very first evidence of the work of the gospel in anyone's heart. That they don't just let the words bounce off of their minds and off of their ears, but they respond and they cry out to the Lord, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. They call upon the name of the Lord, and as God has promised, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so prayer is the beginning of the Christian life. It is the evidence of new life in Jesus Christ. But it is also, we might say, the breath and heartbeat of the ongoing Christian life. And so we come to verses 18, 19, and 20, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. And it is here that we want to hone in on intercessory prayer, praying for two things, for all the saints and for the preachers of the gospel. Because that's what we have here in verses 18 through 20, that we are to pray for all the saints, concerning all the saints, and in behalf of the preachers of the gospel, Paul being the example of a preacher of the gospel who is requesting specific prayer for himself and by extension for all who are raised up to preach Jesus Christ. And so we want to think then about this today. We want to think about intercessory prayer as we answer the question, for whom are you to pray? First of all, for all the saints, for all of the saints. You, as followers of Jesus Christ, are to have a heartfelt concern for the whole army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, God says that this heartfelt concern would be expressed by praying for all the saints, concerning all those who are united to Jesus Christ by a living faith. We need to define our terms, don't we? Who are the saints? Well, we can think of church history and how this word has been greatly distorted, particularly in the Eastern Orthodox Church and in the Roman Catholic Church, where saints are super Christians. But that's not how the Bible uses the word saints. Saints are all those who are set apart from service to sin and service to Satan, and set apart unto service to the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of his church. Saints are those who are set apart. They are holy ones, set apart from service to sin and Satan, and set apart unto loving service to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible actually doesn't use the word Christian to describe God's people, except for one time. But it uses the word saints to describe God's people hundreds of times. And that's who you are. And as I pointed out last week, the saints are here. And these are the ones that we pray for. We have Saint Jeannie. We have Saint Linda. We have Saint Titus. We have Saint Josh. And we are to pray for all the saints, those who by God's grace have been set apart from sin and its guilt, set apart from sin's service and service to the devil, and set apart unto the service of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of his church. And so we're to pray for all the saints. Now, if you think about that, this is overwhelming. As I said last week, there are 2.1 billion professing Christians in the world. And if you were to pray for all the saints by name, you would not do anything else except pray for the rest of your life. That's all you would do, is pray, if you prayed for each saint by name. So how do we put into practice what is being spoken of here? Well, we're to pray for all the saints, and we've got to figure out practically how to do that. And I want to suggest seven categories of praying for all the saints today. This isn't binding per se, But this is maybe helpful to break down in a practical way what God means here when he says that we are to be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Why seven categories? Well, I choose the number seven not because it's a perfect number, but I choose the number seven because there are 7 days in each week. And maybe this could be helpful to you as you think about putting into practice what God says here. And so we start with the first category, and this can be for the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the Christian Sabbath. You are to pray, here's the category number one, to pray for the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To pray for the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the most broad category which God calls you as believers, as followers of Jesus, to pray for. This includes all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ together with their children throughout the world. And here we don't have, as it were, a lot of specific names to pray for. We pray in general terms for the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God on earth. And what might be the two petitions which you lift up on the first day of the week for the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, as we look at the context of Ephesians chapter 6, perhaps we would pray these two petitions. One, Lord, protect your universal church from the devil. Protect your universal church from the devil and his schemes. Protect the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ from the devil who seeks to deceive, who seeks to divide, and who seeks to destroy. Protect your church, your saints, who call upon your name in truth and sincerity and in faith from the attacks of the devil, from his attacks of deception, his attacks of division, and his attacks of destruction. But there's a second petition which we can pray for the universal church of God on the first day of the week as well. We can pray that the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ would not only be protected from the devil, but would prevail against the devil's kingdom, would prevail against the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is set in contrast to the kingdom of darkness, to those who are in the grip and thraldom of the devil. And it is Christ who has come to set the prisoner free. It is Christ who has come to plunder the kingdom of darkness and to bring his people into the kingdom of light, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ who has come to wash and to cleanse his people and to bring them out of bondage and into the liberty and freedom of the children of God. And so, making it very simple, we're to pray for all the saints. Okay. Well, on the first day of the week, pray for the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it would be protected from Satan and it would prevail against Satan as the kingdom advances through the proclamation of the gospel. Second category for Monday. Second category, pray for particular aspects of the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for particular aspects of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. What particular aspects might be helpful to, as it were, make this more bite-sized? Pray for those who are persecuted for the sake of Jesus. Pray for those who are persecuted for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each week in your bulletin, there's a prayer sheet. It's often in the center of your bulletin. And each week you will find that there is one hot spot which we pray for as the church of Jesus is persecuted. Today, this week, we pray for the persecuted church in Nigeria. We had a sobering report from the churches of Nigeria to our recent General Assembly of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, where we were told that in the last 3 years, thousands of faithful believers have lost their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. 16,000 saints have died in Nigeria in churches which we have ecumenical relationship with. 16,000. So we pray for particular aspects of the universal church. So if on the first day of the week we pray for the universal church of Jesus Christ at large, on Monday pray for particular aspects of the universal church, for your persecuted brethren. What other particular aspects of the universal church might you pray for on a Monday? We'll pray for particular people groups. And here, I'm going to challenge you to think through your heritage. What is your heritage? That is, where do you come from? Now, we're in New England, and a lot of us in New England have multiple generations here. But where did your forefathers come from? Maybe some of you, your forefathers came directly from England. We'll pray for England. Maybe others of you have forefathers who came from Scotland. Pray for Scotland. Maybe others of you have forefathers who came from Brazil. Pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in Brazil. Maybe others of you have forefathers who came from Germany. Pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in Germany. You see what I'm getting? I'm trying to make it practical and bite-sized for you so that you can put into practice praying for all the saints. In general, on the first day of the week, on Monday, praying for your persecuted brethren and the country which you hail from in your heritage. Maybe there's another aspect of the universal church which you should be praying for as you have your ears attentive to the general news which goes on in the world. What would that mean? Well, you want to be attentive to those who are experiencing misery. Not just persecution, not just your heritage, the country you hail from, but those who are suffering misery in this world. You don't have to often look very far in order to find people who are suffering misery in this world. And as we think back over the past 2 weeks, we can think of the country of Venezuela and the devastating 2 earthquakes which hit Venezuela. And so here are 3 aspects of the universal church to pray for on Monday, right? That you pray for the persecuted church. You pray for the persecuted church, which we're praying for this week. You pray for the heritage where you came from, that is, where you hail from, and you pray for the church who is experiencing misery together with fellow men and women, that in that misery they may hold forth a cup of cold water to those who are suffering, and they may hold forth that cup of cold water in the name of Jesus Christ, and they may be used by the Lord to minister to those who are in misery. What about on Tuesday? What about on Tuesday? Well, pray for the nation in which you live by God's providence. Where's that? Well, the United States of America. We particularly celebrate 250 years of the United States of America here this year. And are you praying for the Church of Jesus, particularly in this nation? You know, for those of you who want even more specificity, I could encourage you to go to a website called NAPARC. And you may say, what is NAPARC? So it's NAPARC. What is NAPARC? NAPARC.org. What is NAPARC? Well, it's North America Presbyterian and Reformed Churches. We are a part, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is a part of NAPARC. That is, we have ecumenical ties with other denominations here in the United States of America. And on that website, you'll see fellow Bible-believing Presbyterian and Reformed denominations, which you can pray for on this third day of the week on Tuesday. And so pray for the church, for all the saints in the nation you live in by God's providence. How about for Wednesday, the fourth day of the week? Well, pray for the church, for all the saints in your region. Where's that? New England, right? New England, rocky ground. The church on hard times. There are very few congregational churches that were founded in the 1600s and the 1700s that remain faithful today. First Church of Merrimack is the exception, not the rule. This church founded in 1771, the fact that we still believe the Bible and that we preach Jesus Christ as the only Savior of sinners, that is rare in New England. So are we praying for the churches in New England, that those faithful churches who are still preaching the gospel would remain faithful, and that God would add to his church here in New England, in New Hampshire, in Vermont, in Massachusetts, in Rhode Island, in Connecticut, and in Maine? Are we praying specifically? Now you can look in your bulletin again, and you'll find that there's a rotation of churches that we pray for each week in our presbyteries, the Presbytery of New York and New England, right? Yes, we're connected with our New York brethren too. Yes. But there, right, we rotate those churches so that we would have a good sense that we are connected to the broader church of the Lord Jesus Christ and that we would be praying for all of the saints. What about a fifth category? Well, on Thursday, pray for the local church. Pray for First Church of Merrimack, right? But think also of other faithful churches that are nearby here. We can think, for example, of Amiskeag Presbyterian Church just 15 to 18 minutes to the north of us. We can think of Jaffrey Presbyterian Church 50 minutes to the west of us. We can think of the church in Dover, New Hampshire, 45 minutes to the east of us. We can think of Merrimack Valley Presbyterian Church just over the border, yes, in Massachusetts. We pray for our brethren in Massachusetts, right? We can think of faithful PCA churches in this area, the PCA Church in Nashua, PCA Church in Manchester, the PCA Church outside of Concord. Are we praying locally for local churches and the ties which bind us together? And so on Thursday, praying not only for local churches, but also for local ministries. And here you can think of praying for local Christian schools. Here you can think of praying for Southern New Hampshire Rescue Mission. Here you can think of praying for Real Options. These are the local things which are going on here. And here on Thursday, right, to 5 days into the week, you've got a fifth category of praying for local churches. Friday, sixth category, pray specifically for First Church of Merrimack. Now, I included that kind of in the category before, but here you can hone in on First Church of Merrimack. Praying for the needs here, and you have many needs which are outlined in the prayer sheet each week. And one of the things which I put out on the pew here as you go out is just a list of all of the members of the church. I put some out in the foyer as well. So this is from our church directory, but I took all the addresses out and everything. And so on one page, you have all the members of First Church of Merrimack. As of today, we have other new members who will be joining by God's grace. But you can take this sheet and you can fold this in half and put it in your Bible, right? And you can put it on your refrigerator. And you can, in your family prayers, pray through this list of God's people here at First Church of Merrimack. God says, pray for all the saints. Intercede for them. Pray that they would be protected from Satan and would be prevailing as fellow members of the army of Jesus Christ in the advancement of the kingdom of the Savior. What about on Saturday? Well, pray for your family. And you say, well, Pastor, I pray for my family every day of the week. Excellent. Excellent. I'm so glad you do, and you should. But perhaps Saturday, you pray for your own individual family with intentionality. Pray for your father. Pray for your mother. And here I speak especially to the younger members of the church. Of course, some of us who are older have living fathers and mothers too. But let me talk especially to the children here. Do you pray for your parents? Do you pray for your daddy and your mommy? Do you lift up your voice on behalf of them that they would love Jesus? And that they would be ones who walk in his ways and are a blessing in your household. That they would be strong together as husband and wife. These are the simple things which every child here who is probably 4 years old or up can be praying for your parents. But parents, obviously you need to be praying for your children. And again, I speak to the children. Are you praying for your siblings, for your brothers and sisters? Me? Pray for my brother? You got to be crazy. No. Pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. Right? We need to be ones who are intentional in our praying, praying for all the saints with all perseverance and petition. And so we've got to somehow organize this so that we are committed to praying as God calls us to pray. It's very easy to read those words in verse 18 and supplication for all the saints and to just run right past it. And not take seriously God's call to you and me as soldiers in His army to pray. To pray in faith, to pray in confidence, to pray knowing that we are being heard, to pray on behalf of my brethren, to pray for all the saints. And so here we're trying to make it practical, trying to make it bite-sized, trying to challenge each of us, including the man standing up here, to put into practice what God says. And it's hard work to pray. But God gives His provision of His Holy Spirit and His Word to teach us how to pray and also to equip us how to pray. And so we pray for all of the saints. And my encouragement to you today is don't give up. You know, you might hear this sermon today and you might say, you know, those are some good ideas. They're not binding on me that this is the way in which I have to pray for all the saints. I'm going to try to put it into practice this week. And so you start out this afternoon and you make it to tomorrow, to Monday, and you're trying to put it into practice and you make it to Tuesday and then Wednesday comes and whoo, right? Life goes sideways. And then you come back next Lord's Day and you're talking to one of your fellow members here at First Church of Merrimack, and that fellow member says, you know, this week I tried to put into practice what we heard from the pulpit last Lord's Day about praying, and suddenly your face goes white and you realize, I forgot. Now what's our tendency when that happens? Our tendency is like put our tail between our legs and to run away and hide. But I am not setting this forth today to discourage anybody. Rather, here is some practical instruction to help you to put into practice the Word of God. And hey, if that happens, that you make it 3 days this week and no further, and you come back next Lord's Day and you have a brother or sister remind you that, you're like, yes. And because I have a faithful Savior who doesn't give up on me, I don't give up on praying. I get right back at it. There's no discouragement in falling down. The righteous man falls 7 times, but gets up again, the book of Proverbs says. And so it's here that I want to encourage you to put into bite-size of ways this particular command of the Lord to His troops, to you and to me. Well, this leads to the second thing that we are to pray for, the second category which we are to pray for, and that is to pray on behalf of preachers of the gospel. To pray on behalf of preachers of the gospel. We read in verse 18 again, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Here the Apostle Paul asks for prayers for himself. Now you remember where the Apostle Paul is. He is in prison. He's in prison not for knowing the gospel. He's in prison for preaching the gospel, for speaking the gospel. And he asked for prayers for himself as a preacher of the gospel, as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by extension, we can apply this to all preachers of the gospel need to be prayed for. Paul doesn't just need to be prayed for in his apostolic office, which is unique to the 12 in the first century, but in his office of minister, his office of preacher. And so the ministers of the gospel are in a special manner to be prayed for. Yes, all the saints are to be prayed for, but especially the preachers of the gospel are to be prayed for. And this slight difference of emphasis is even seen in the original Greek text, which underlies our English translation. We're to pray concerning all the saints, and we're to pray in behalf of the preachers of the gospel. We're to set our minds and our hearts and our intentions in praying for those who are on the front line proclaiming Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners and as the judge of the living and of the dead. Well, two questions arise if you are to pray for the ministers of the gospel. First of all, how should you pray for them? And secondly, why? How should you pray for them and why? First of all, how should you pray for them? Well, pray that God would give preachers of the gospel the word to speak. We read in verse 19, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me." Literally in the Greek text, it's pray that a word may be given to me. A word to speak, to proclaim. And it's here that you need to be praying for the preachers of the gospel, and yes, even this preacher of the gospel, that God would give a word for me to speak. Now, God has given us His inspired, inerrant, inscripturated word. But God also promises to guide faithful preachers in their proclamation as they apply that word. And here, this is what the apostle is asking prayer for. Pray that a word would be given to me. God supplies the particular word to preachers that we might receive what God intends. Pray, secondly, that God would give the opportunity for the preacher to both speak and to be heard. Pray that God would give the opportunity for the preacher to both speak and to be heard. Again, verse 9, "And for me, that a word may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." It is in the opening of the mouth that an opportunity is given to proclaim Jesus Christ. And so when you pray for preachers, it's not just that they would be able to study the Word of God diligently as workmen, but that the opportunity would be given for them to speak, not just to an empty room, but to speak unto being heard. Unto being heard. And so when you pray for preachers of the gospel, and I ask you to pray for me as a preacher of the gospel, pray that a word would be given to me as I diligently study the word in order to administer it unto you, but pray also that the opportunity, the continued opportunity, would be given to speak and to be heard, and that you would even have a desire to bring others to hear as a part of God's answer to your prayer. Thirdly, when you pray for the ministers of the gospel, pray that God would give boldness to hold nothing back that would be profitable. Pray that God would give boldness to the preacher so that nothing would be held back that would be profitable. It's so important, right? We're even told in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but with itching ears will gather to themselves preachers who tell them what they want to hear. The last thing, the worst thing that you could have is for me to tell you just what you want to hear. Pray for boldness. And it's emphasized here, isn't it? That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That the preaching which comes from this pulpit and in other opportunities which God gives would be of convincing boldness, that it's God's word which is being proclaimed, not mine. With wise boldness, that there would be a sensitivity to God's timing, God's manner, and God's heart. Humble boldness, that the preacher would understand that he sits in the front pew underneath the word of God as it's proclaimed. And zealous boldness, because the preacher is speaking about ultimate issues. Heaven and hell, life and death. And so pray. Pray for the ministers of the gospel in a special manner. Pray in behalf of me that God would give the word to speak, that God would give the opportunity to speak and be heard, that God would give the boldness to hold nothing back. But why pray this way? And we quickly come to a close with this last question. Why should you be stirred to pray like this? Well, you should be stirred to pray like this, first of all, because God commands it, right? It's pretty straightforward. It's not that complicated. But think about it. When you pray for the ministers of the gospel, when you pray for this particular preacher of the gospel, it's for your own good. It's for your own good. After all, Christ has given you the gift of a minister of the gospel. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 4, just two chapters earlier, that Christ has ascended on high and he has given gifts to his church. And the gift comes in the form of not $20 checks to everybody, or $200 checks to everybody, or $2,000 checks to everybody, but in pastors and teachers. And so when you pray for your preacher, you are praying that God would use his gift to you for your eternal benefit and for your daily benefit. You're praying for your own good when you pray for the preacher of the gospel. You are praying that in your life and in your heart. Now think about it. If you're praying diligently for the preaching of the gospel, for the preacher of the gospel, that is going to whet your appetite and is going to give you anticipation for what you are going to hear in the preaching of the gospel. And so it works, as it were, hand in glove. You pray for the preaching of the gospel and then you come with an appetite and anticipation for what is going to be proclaimed to you by the preacher of the gospel. Through your prayers, you help in producing the preacher's sermons and in enabling them, God using his words to hit the mark. And so we come to a close here in this whole section of Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 20. And we realize that the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ advances as his followers put on the armor of God and bathe that armor in believing a prayer. Now, Satan's going to attack you. He's going to say, you don't need to pray. And he's going to, as it were, stoke your pride. He's going to attack you and say, God doesn't hear your prayers. And so he's going to attack your faith in believing that God hears the cries of his children. Satan is going to attack you and say, there are more practical things to do than to pray. Come on, let's get on with it. And as Juan has said in church history, there are more things you can do than pray, but there is nothing more you can do until you pray. We start in prayer with all that we do. And yet the devil would say, no, it's a waste of time. And if we think about how the devil works, the first thing to go in the Christian's life is private prayer. That leads to a second thing, private meditation and reading of God's word. And what happens when prayer goes out the window and the word of God remains closed? You know what happens? An eerie silence. It's not a wonderful silence, it's an eerie silence. terrifying that your relationship with God would grow silent. You not talking to Him and you not listening to Him. Ah, but the Lord today encourages you. He encourages you. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This is the way that Christ has appointed for advancing His kingdom, protecting you from the wiles of the devil, and using you as His good soldiers to be the ones who advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you would be equipped by the preaching of the word to pray rightly, to pray fully, and to speak and proclaim to your neighbors what you hear from the word of God. And so, we stand together in Christ's strength. We speak together on His behalf. We strive together with all boldness in the Lord, and we advance together knowing that the battle is the Lord's and to Him the glory belongs. As then, we devote ourselves to bathing the armor of God in prayer, because Christ has done all for us, wearing that armor, running the gauntlet all the way to the cross to pay for our sins that we might have everlasting life. What happens? What happens as we bathe the armor of God in believing prayer? Strongholds are demolished and sinners are converted. And that brings glory to Christ. That brings great glory to Christ. So we begin, right? The sign of life. New life. Prayer. Calling upon the name of the Lord. And the Christian life continues. Its breath and heartbeat is believing prayer, which God prescribes here and promises to use in your personal life and in the life of this particular congregation and in the life of His universal church throughout the world. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, use your word to us today to encourage us to rededicate ourselves to prayer. And Father, if there are any here today who know not peace with you and the blessedness of sins forgiven, may this be the day in which they pray for the first time, not just say a prayer, but cry out to you that you would be the merciful, gracious, forgiving God that you are in Jesus Christ to them. And so, our Father, nourish us on Jesus Christ today, that we might be a people who are equipped and used by you to advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in His name. Amen.